to the Kitchen Stitches podcast. I'm Summer.
I'm Darcy.
And I'm Katie.
Welcome to all new and returning listeners. You can find show notes at kitchenstitches.com and links to all the places you can find us on the internets can be found there too. Please come over and join us on the Kitchen Stitches Ravelry board. We'd love to get to know you. Hey guys, thanks for joining us for episode 75 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Saturday, July 30th. Sorry, yeah, we were just laughing about how I can never remember the date. And we are again at Katie's house, and it's all three of us, me, Summer, Katie, and Darcy. So today we will talk about finished objects, works in progress, casting on soon, other crafty pursuits, acquisitions, events, our knit along, little tiny bit of in the kitchen, and reading and watching. And hopefully, I think we can get through all of that. It may be a long one. It's been a while. It's been about almost exactly a month since we recorded last. So,
well, that was just a follow-up. So.
Yeah. So it's been a long time since we talked about our actual knitting. And I'm just going to get started. Just my little update, if anybody else wants to give our little update. We went on a family vacation a couple of weeks ago. And I surprisingly did very little knitting. I was fairly monogamous on this trip. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we did a massive road trip over the Southwest, starting in Houston, going up through Northwest Texas, through practically all of New Mexico, into Colorado, and back. And it was fantastic.
I love that part of the world.
Yeah. It's so pretty. I'm working on a blog post, so rather than bore everyone with all of the details, other than the fact that it was just fantastic, at some point, I'll post a link to the post. It's just taking me forever to write it because it was long, and I don't want it. I started getting bored as I was writing it, you know, so it was just going to be, then we did this, and then we did this, and then we did this, and no one wants to read that. I wanted to capture some of my memories and all of that stuff. So, of course, you know, now it's been 2 weeks, and they're fading, but still.
We got pictures and stuff.
Yeah, I still have so many pictures on the camera. I took most of my pictures with our DSLR, and I haven't even imported them, and a lot of them need some post-processing. The light was hard to deal with, and I'm still learning a lot. So some of them are good, some of them are okay, but eventually I will have them on Flickr, and I will post that as well. I'll post it in the Ravelry group. But, so let's talk about some knitting.
Well, I'll say other things.
I'm sorry.
We have kittens.
That's right.
I need to post more kitten pictures.
They need their own Instagram account, like Ralph has his own.
Yes, they do.
They are. Well, see, but then I feel kind of guilty because then I have the two dogs, which are also super pretty. Although one dog is more involved than the other dog, but we told my daughter for her 9th birthday that she could have kittens, and what was weird was, a friend of a friend was fostering some kittens, and so I contacted her, and I found out that, that she actually lives down the street from us.
Oh, wow.
It was so weird. So we walked over and we looked at the kittens, and one of them was kind of Mr. Personality and out in front. And then I fell in love with the little black one. So we have two little boys, which we have not had boys in the house for a very long time besides my husband. And they have very generic names of Tiger and Spooky, but they are super cute. Tiger is very adventurous. Both of them are sweet. Spooky is my cuddle bug. The dogs are still, you know, Bella, who's our older lab, she just kind of like rolls with it because she's been with cats before and she's kind of a mellow dog. It's Luna, my white German shepherd, who's just kind of over the top, and her idea of like, let's play is let's bark annoyingly loud at them and let's rush at them. And Spooky hissed at her the other night, and she
good
kind
for
of
him.
Edgy, and Luna backed down. So I'm like, okay, one of you cats need to like smack her across the nose, and all shall be well. Yeah. But we're getting there. It's a long process. I think my husband's annoyed that I'm taking such a long time, but I want to do it right, and have everybody be happy. But yeah, I need to post more kitten pictures because they are super cute and super cuddly. And
you haven't had a kitten in so long.
I forgot how much energy they have. But I also do not miss, I was thinking about this, but you don't have to potty train them the same way you have to do with puppies.
Yeah.
And I loved my puppies. I loved Bella and Luna when they were puppies, but this is a lot less work.
I'm more of a cat person. And we have a dog, but cats are so much more lower maintenance.
They snuggle different too. Yes, I mean, Luna is a snuggler, but I think part of it's because it's hot here and she has a lot of fur, mm-hmm. but she gets overheated really easily. Yeah. So she jumps down from the bed pretty quickly.
We were talking about that recently, saying that cats are like roommates. Where dogs are like family members.
Yes.
There's definitely a difference between the two. Roommates who are letting you live in their space.
Yes. So. But I'm loving all my babies are really pretty and I love them all. So yeah, I'll post more animal pictures.
What about you, Katie? Anything up?
No, my husband starts his new job.
Yay!
He has, 1 week, and then he's going to be an 8th grade science teacher. So this will be his first year teaching, so.
8th grade is fun. I actually liked teaching 8th grade. They're goofy, but it's like a nice transition. They're looking for adults that make a difference in their lives. So
next week is his last week of freedom before school starts. So
yeah, I was thinking about that on the way up. And Jimmy, my husband, is also a teacher, and we were talking about going back to school, and I was wondering how your husband is doing the prep and all that. But I was also thinking that once school starts, we may want to think about whether or not we want to keep taking over your house, because he may.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. We'll see.
It'll be fine.
So. But if he doesn't, if he wants space after a crazy week at school, we can figure out something else.
He can go upstairs. Oh.
We keep finding all of these benefits to Katie's house.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that I don't have to go anywhere, so. And it's an excuse to clean.
Yeah. Okay. Now we can.
Talk knitting.
Yeah. So even though we've been doing this together for almost 6 months, sometimes I forget that I'm not doing it. I'm still doing it by myself. So you just have to slap me around a little bit. Okay. So who wants to talk about their finished objects first?
I can.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I am on the ribbing of the cuff for my OMG heel sock by Megan Williams. So I put those in the FO category because
another so close. Yeah.
Half an hour of knitting. Yeah. So I knit these with Nomadic Yarns Trusty Sock and Tinsel Tree, which is a pink, gray, teal self-striping.
They're so soft. That yarn is so soft.
Yeah, what's the?
Those are fun. They're happy making to look at.
I don't remember what the content is. Let's see. It's 75% superwash, 20% nylon. Hmm. So almost done with those. Those will be done today because I want to get that done. I finished this, my gather hat by Tin Can Knits a couple weeks ago.
That's pretty.
I like that too. I like that pattern.
Yeah, I love the pattern. It looks like a basket weave kind of thing.
It's really easy. Well, it's just you wrap the stitches.
Right,
it's really simple. I had started it, and then I had to rip it out and start over because Gage got me. It was too tight,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted the hat for me. So it's knit in Daisy Knits DK, Dewy DK, in this really pretty, like, grapey purple.
Yeah.
I don't know what my favorite color is. I love green, I love blues, and I love purples. And my winter coat is like a dark lilac and then like a darker purple. You know, for all the times I get to wear it.
That's what I was thinking. I'm not sure I have a winter coat anymore.
So I'm always making things that can go with my winter coat. Well, I mean, I get to wear it when we go to Wisconsin.
Oh, that's
so
true.
Yeah.
So I made that, and it's stitch definition is just beautiful.
Can I see that?
That was my Tin Can Knits. That's
gather. Really nice, sturdy DK.
Yeah.
You had gotten that for me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I didn't think that was DK.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Wow.
That feels really good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, so I had to change needle sizes, and I think I went up a size as well. And then I finished this monster. It's called The Sophisticated Traveler by Cassie Muntsgaard. And it uses two different bases. I used...
I wish you could see Summer's face right now. She's kind of in a little bit of ecstasy.
It just feels so... I just want to wrap up in that.
Well, it's not blocked yet either. I used Sophisticate, which is a merino mohair silk. That's this one right here. And then Traveler Sport, which is silk and merino. And it's a simple triangle shawl... alternating stockinette and then a textured stitch, and then there's a ribbed border where you hold both strands together. That's why squishy and marled. But people in the Plucky group are just whipping these out.
I really like it.
It was good until you got to about the last two sections where the rows were really long. But I've got more yarn to make more. So it was pretty, and I can't wait to block it to get it bigger, make it long and
that's going to be amazing. I really like that. That looks like just like a good basic one that you grab. Yeah, I pull grab this.
And it's, you know, it's a gray and a black, so it's, you know, it goes with anything. And then it's already in a bin upstairs. By Yauza Weyit shawl by Susan B. Anderson. I used Miss Babs Yauza in Beautiful Dreamer, which was like a maroon, purple, pink, gray, and a teal, and a little white. It's a asymmetric shawl where you knit like a long skinny triangle and then you add a border on the edge of it. And I finished that, too. I got pictures for all this stuff in my project pages. So I did all those so I could put into the wool points. So I think that's all I got for
FOs. Darcy, you want to go next?
Yeah, I got a couple of finished objects. One I actually finished last night. It started out as an experiment because I have so much sock yarn and I do like to make toys. So I'm like, you know, I pulled out Rebecca Danger's monster book and just like flipped through and I found, so I made the Angus the Attic Monster. He's got super long limbs. I did not do the thumbs because I didn't feel like it. And then he's got he's kind of like a circle on top of a circle and then a little top knot. Out of like I said, this was an experiment to see if I can do it. So I just grabbed the red heart and soul, you know, that you grab in the bin, and I made him up, and he turned out really cute. And then it occurs to me, and she's not going to listen. My niece is about ready to have a baby, so I'm going to give the little monster plus. I guess we'll talk about this one, but some socks and a hat to match in the same yarn, and the hat will have the same little top knot. So it'll be a cute little set. Yeah. So
it's really
cute. It's really cute. I think I'm going to do, because I have a lot of striped sock yarn, and I want to try that is not, you know, like fancy yarn. So I think I want to try and make a lot of the monsters in that book, because they're easy to crank out. Mm-hmm. And the other finished object that I'm super happy with, it needs to be blocked.
The rainbow.
This I bought it at Houston Fiber Fest. This is the Western Skies Knit sock blank in Poppy Seed was the name of it, but it was this rainbow. It desperately needs to be blocked. But I did it in a ruffly shawl and it is a true rainbow. It starts out red around the neck and then goes through to like the blue is almost a turquoise and then a real deep purple. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun.
That is so pretty.
It's really, really fun. I think once it's blocked and stretched out, it's going to be one of those good all-weather shawlets that you toss over.
Yep, and you can wear it with almost anything.
Yeah. And we're about ready to go on a trip, so I figured this is a good, like, throw-over-the-neck plain shawl kind of thing. So it'll pack small. So I'm really happy with it. It's so pretty. I'll feel like a pretty pony.
Are those all yours?
Those are all mine. Oh, those are all yours.
Okay. So I opened up the Google Doc to add my notes, and I had to, like, go back and look at the previous month to make sure that these weren't leftovers, because it's been so long since I finished these, I couldn't believe I hadn't talked about them yet. But I didn't bring any of mine with me. I've been scattered, so... And actually, at least one of these is at work, because just like we were talking about, Katie's shawl is just that perfect, just grab it and wrap around, and I love it so much.
Is that that purple shawl you were wearing yesterday?
Yeah, so that
My gosh, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, it's Wide Open Spaces by Sarah Gresbach, and Leading Men Fiber Arts Box Office, which is a worsted in Purple Rain, and it is the... It's not a royal purple. It's, I don't even know.
It's how, like a bright periwinkle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just glows. It glows. Yeah. I mean, literally, it is just a beautiful purple. And I wear knit stuff at work all the time. I always have something. I have gotten so many compliments, not necessarily on the shawl, which is beautiful, but on the yarn itself. People who have never complimented my knitting have commented on the color.
It's really elegant.
Yeah, it is perfect. And the size is, I mean, it's one of those, it's long enough in that the wingspan is long enough that I can wrap it, and it covers like my elbows so that it keeps me warm at my desk, which is often cold. It hasn't been terribly cold, but it's just cold enough that I need something to take the chill off, and it's just perfect. I love it. This is I think it's my current favorite shawl. And that was gifted, the pattern was gifted to me by Jeanette Bookish Stitcher, so thank you, Jeanette, for that. I love that so much. And I had also finished the Inverness Diamond Mitts by Daniela Richardson, who's Caffeinated Gert on Ravelry and Instagram, using hand spun from Brazen Stitchery in the Simply Irresistible colorway, which was, again, like I've mentioned before, I'm kind of working my way from oldest hand spun to newest. And this one I spun probably, I guess it was about a year ago, because it was during Tour de Fleece last year. And this, I think this skein was kind of the turning point where something clicked. It wasn't overspun. It was still, I won't say, it wasn't ropey, but it was ropier than the newer stuff, but it was drapier. It was maybe my first good yarn on the wheel. I may have said that before about another one, but this one, it just felt good. But it was this just beautiful, like lipstick red with a lot of sparkle. And I think I had about 80 yards, so I had pretty much just enough to make the short version of these mitts, which were just a very, very basic mitt with, didn't have a thumb guss, it just had a thumb hole with a really, kind of a Gansey pattern with that. Is that the right word? Gansey? Is that the, like, just knits and purls? I think that's the right word. But it has like an X pattern in it, and they were super easy. And these I may have talked about these in a previous podcast. I had knit the first one and realized that it was, oh no, I know what I did. I had knit it and it was really, I've got really small wrists and it was too big around the wrist. So I decided to decrease. And when I bound off, the bind off was too tight and I really hadn't decreased in the right place. But I just left it, and then I did the second one and experimented with it a little and decided that if it worked better, I would rip out the other one and redo it. And it did. I kind of made a little gusset on the wrist side of it. And then I think I must have done a super stretchy bind off or something on it. And it worked, so I ripped back. It was a quick enough project that I was able to rip it back without any problem and finish those. And those are ones that I'll probably take to work because they're short enough. My problem with fingerless mitts is often I've got really small hands, so you can't see what I'm doing. But the mitts often come up kind of like to my second knuckle.
That's why I stopped mine.
Yeah. And I can't actually use them at my desk. If I if I roll them down, they're too bulky, so I end up taking them off if I actually need to do anything. And it's when I'm typing that my fingers are cold. So these are much shorter. They probably come up to the first knuckle, and I think that I'll be able to actually use them. I think they're the perfect size. So I keep meaning to take those to work, and I haven't done that yet. But, let's see. Then I finished a Ricky hat, and I forgot to fill in who that was by. Everybody's made one. You can find it on Ravelry. You can look on my project page, but I mean, it's just a basic garter hat, and it's very slouchy, and I used Undead Yarn Cemetery DK base in the Wild Rumpus colorway, and this is Heidi's, well, at the time, it was her newest colorway. It was her anniversary colorway, and I talked about that in the last episode when we were talking about the Houston Fiber Fest. She had brought it, wanting someone to knit it up. And it's whites and pinks and grays and blues.
Yeah, how did it turn out?
It turned out great.
Because that yarn was great.
Yeah, it knit up really fast. I've knit a Ricky before, and I seem to remember it taking a while. This one was really, really quick. And I hate to give it to Heidi for a show sample, but I will. I will give it up. But so, actually, if you were going to be at Stitches Texas or Into the Wool, I'm sure I'm going to be bringing it to her for a show sample so you can see it there. But yeah, it worked out really great, and I just love the colorway, and I really liked working with that DK also. I also finished Skew Socks, which I had been working on since not too long after Stitches Texas last year, which is where I got the yarn. And that was also in Undead Yarn. That one was on the Vampiri base, which is a fingering, I think it's 75%, no, maybe 80% merino, 20% nylon. It may be 75-25, but it's super, super soft. And that was in the Children of the Cornflower colorway. It's kind of a wheat color and a cornflower blue self-striping, and it's really, really pretty.
Did it have any section of glowing eyes? Because that would have been...
You know, the wheat section had some pops of red.
Okay.
So maybe that's what she was going for.
Oh, that makes me
it's
happy.
It's been so long since I saw the movie that I'm not sure I would have caught the reference, but... These, you know, a lot of people have talked about their skew socks not fitting, and I must have just the right size foot and right shape foot for them because they fit me perfectly.
Oh, cool.
Which was great because they were kind of a pain to knit and took forever, and I would have been really, really ticked off if they hadn't fit me. But they turned out great, and I cannot wait until it's a little bit cooler and I can wear them. Gosh, I have a lot of finished objects. I also finished another pair of socks. I called them my mallard socks. They were hand spun by my mom, who is a Free Spirit on Ravelry and Instagram, or Free Spirit One, I think, on Instagram. And it was Greenwood Fiber Arts in the mallard colorway, and it was superwash merino nylon, 3-ply, and it's a really pretty greens and browns. I think those are the only two colors. And they knit into these really thick socks. I ended up making them kind of like Rose City Rollers. I think I've talked about these in the past. They were kind of basically the same style as Rose City Rollers with the rolled cuff, but I did them toe up and with an OMG heel by Megan Williams. And they turn out, they're a little big for my feet. Mainly, I think it's just working with hand spun. The gauge isn't consistent, but they're perfect. They're going to be perfect for wearing around the house. I really like them too. And those, again, even though they were short socks, they took forever. I started them in November.
Well, you didn't have them
yeah.
for a while.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I had left them at a friend's house. They were the kind of thing that I would pick up in the car. And this was one of the pair that I knit on a lot on our road trip. So I got finally just knocked them out. And then right before we left, I think I did the Mori Cowl, M-O-R-I, by Tyga Hilliard, or Tega, I'm not sure how you say her name, in Fat Cat Knits, another hand spun, in the Queen of Sheba colorway, which was kind of a bronzy colorway with, I think it had some specks of purple and super, super sparkly again. And this was a really, really easy mesh cowl that flew by. Sorry. This was more of a bulky yarn. So this was, I mean, I did this in probably 2 days. Super, super quick knit. And I wasn't sure how I was going to like it. The colors aren't colors I typically wear. It's a little bulkier than what I normally wear. I am still a little afraid that the sparkle in it will be a little scratchy around my neck, but it's just drapey enough that I don't think it will bother me. But I really, really liked it. I should have brought these. I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, why didn't you?
I don't know. I just need, it was one of, we've been doing so much and we were out this morning and I just kind of, I made sure I grabbed something to knit, which of course I'm not knitting. And then, and just didn't think to grab all my works in front, or finished objects, but that turned out great. And then last one, the Thames, T-H-A-M-E-S, like the river, fingerless gloves by, also by Tyga Hilliard, in Neon Unicorn Studios, String of Pearl Sock in the Mellow Rainbow. And, I think I mentioned this the last time we recorded a full podcast, that the name of the shop has changed. It used to be Munchkin Mama on Etsy, and it appears to now be Neon Unicorn Studios, and the String of Pearls sock seems to be discontinued. But it was just a, you know, typical fingering weight yarn, and it was in a kind of a subdued rainbow colorway, and these were just a fairly simple stockinette fingerless glove, but it had a cable like running up the inside, well, the thumb side of the back of the mitt. And I finished those yesterday, actually. I finished those this morning. No. I finished them last night, and then I still have to weave in the ends, but I'm going to consider those finished. And those are, they're not a gift for a friend, they were a commission for a friend. But oh, one more. Two more. Because I'll throw my spinning in. Right before we left for vacation, I finished the brazen stitchery braid that was on my wheel, which was a merino, bamboo, nylon, and the Cadbury eggs for breakfast colorway. And if you think about kind of a pastel version, pastel-ish version of the colors of the foil wrappers of Cadbury cream eggs, that's kind of the colorway. It's just kind of very typical Easter colors. And these will, that, I'll mention it later, but that braid will be one of the prizes for our summer reading knit along. And then the last finished on, this time I mean it, it was Kid Cat Farms Merino, Superwash Merino, Tessa Silk. And I did this one for a retirement gift for one of our friends who retired yesterday. And it was mostly orange with some brown and pops of pink. And it turned out really great. It was 2-ply, got about 400 yards, just over 400 yards. And she seemed to really like it. But the best part of it was the label, because this was a librarian friend of mine. And I don't know where I got the idea, but I decided to make a card catalog that had, you know, like the old school card catalog cards with the information about the yarn on it, and glued it to, well, it was supposed to be an index card. It was the back of a notepad that was the same size as an index card. Thank you, hubby. It turned out really well. There's a site on, it's on Blyberg.com, Blyberg.com, that has a card catalog card generator. And I just put in the information and it spit it out and I printed it and it turned out so great.
It was really cute.
I felt so clever. Yes, she did.
Oh, good.
You know, she didn't actually comment on the label now that I think about it, but
she's probably overwhelmed.
Yes, yeah, I know. No, I'm not. No sour grapes there. But, I was just very impressed with myself.
You should be. It was good. It was really cute.
It turned out really well. And like, we were talking at lunch the other day, if I were to ever sell yarn, I think that that would be my label style because it just turned out great. But works in progress. Someone else can talk now.
I only have a small, I mean, I mentioned I'm making this is Darcy. I'm doing the Shibui baby hat and socks from the, didn't write down. It's the, to match the little monster. It's from the Sock Yarn One Skein Wonders, which is kind of my go-to. Helen Bingham is, they're like super simple socks, super simple hat with a little top knot. And it'll match up the monster, and I think that'll be cute. And I'm getting ready to go on a vacation next month, and it'll be a family vacation. We're going to go glamping. So I'm thinking about, like, what can I bring? And already we figured out we have one suitcase that's going to be full of games, and I figured I can get knitting projects in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to pick up my mermaid afghan again.
Oh, fun.
Because that's one that I can work on and while I talk. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to do. And I'm also going to bring my spinning, which is coming along. Yeah. It's, you know, to me it looks just like beginning spinning. It doesn't look like summers, that's for sure. But it's getting there. It's very fuzzy. I think that's the one thing. Is it's a very fuzzy.
It looks like yarn.
It looks like yarn. Hey, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
So I'm working on spinning, and I'm going to bring that. And then the rest is stuff that I have plans to get started, which we'll talk about later. But I'm keeping it really easy right now.
Yeah. Not too much.
Like. Yeah.
Okay. So I was working on Dragonfly's Hat by Hohi Locatelli, but I just frogged that. I will make a barley instead, because I can get that done before August 21st and still get the same amount of points. I started a shawl the other day called April Snow by Knitterella, who is Jill Zielinski. It's an exclusive kit and pattern from Plucky Knitter. It's just a asymmetric triangle shawl and garter and drop stitches, and so I'm using Plucky Knitter in Snug Fingering, which is an alpaca, 70% merino, 20% cashmere, 10% alpaca, and I'll get little wisps of this, and it's like knitting with kitten bellies.
Oh,
it's so soft.
Oh, with the little
because of the cashmere and
I gotta feel
in the.
I'm like, here, bring it over, I'll tell you.
Well, I've soaked it, too, because of the...
Yeah, it does feel like Spooky's barbaloot belly.
Because of the spun right round I'm using, which is a speckled yarn, which is white with bright speckles of orange and green and yellow.
It's like highlighters, reminds me.
Yeah, someone dropped a bunch of highlighters on
yarn.
I didn't want it to bleed when I soaked it. Mm. Mm-hmm. And actually the gray, this didn't bleed at all. It's the pink, which is pink champagne on ice, which is another Plucky yarn, did bleed. And it may bleed just a little bit when I soak it, but.
But it's next to the gray, so it shouldn't be too visible.
Well, when I get to the bottom section, it'll be next to the white. But I soaked it for a couple hours, so I think I got it to the point where it's almost done, and I'll just use color catchers and watch it. I was losing patience, so. So I'm working on that because I was busy finishing all the other stuff, and then haven't touched this in a couple weeks, but this will be one of my hats for Grammy. Is it's a crocheted hat using Irish girls Springvale worsted. It's the crocheted urban slouchy beanie or something like that by Vicky Howell. So you crochet the band and then it's puff stitches.
Oh,
huh. Dave made one a couple years ago at Christmas. I've been wanting to crochet something again, so.
I've kind of been getting the bug too.
Yeah.
Maybe when I finish the socks.
I have mixed feelings about bottom up crochet hats. I don't know.
I've never actually crocheted a hat.
I've done like the top down, which is, you know, because that's basically, you know, add a circle and expand it, which I do a million times for amigurumi. But I don't know, there's something about like that connecting chain that always kind of freaks me out. I've never done it well.
Well, see, that's my issue with crochet is that I'm so proud of myself that that's a straight line.
And it is a straight line. It is a really straight line.
One time I was just messing around or trying to make something and I ended up with like, because I don't do turning chains very well, so I am so proud of myself that this is a straight line.
It's, yeah. Like, maybe that's why I like the top down. It's like, I know how to make circles, I know how to make the hexagons,
one,
but please.
So that one, it actually, instead of doing one long chain that you have to join, you're doing a band that's only,
and that's not so bad.
10 or 12.
That's not so bad.
It's like,
right. Yeah. And then you join that, and then you've got to go around and pick up like 70 or 80 stitches or something like that. But once you get that done,
then that's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah.
So I just haven't picked that.
That's not as terrifying to me.
That's not going to get me any points. So
yeah. So I after all of the works in progress, I mean all of the finished objects, I really don't have very much on the needles. I'm still working on my harvest. I really hoped how we get finished with this for the Into the Wool spotlight cowl, but I'm not confident. There's always the possibility I could, but I still have quite a ways to go. I've finished the increases for the yoke. I'm about, well, it was a few inches maybe below where I separated for the sleeves. And after listening to Knit More Girls, one of the relatively recent episodes, Jasmine was talking about how she was doing hers and how she will separate for the sleeves, work a couple of inches, and then, separate for the sleeves, work a couple of inches, and then start doing the sleeves so you're not turning an entire sweater. And since that's about the point I was at, I thought that was a fantastic idea. So I picked up the stitches and am working on one of the sleeves and made it, I'm about just over 3 inches down the sleeve. I need to really look at it. My arms are shorter than most patterns, but I also don't mind sweaters that are longer because I can roll up the sleeves or I can bury my hands in them. So I'm not quite sure if I need to make modifications.
Yeah, there is so heavy.
Right, there is that. Then there's also the part of me that kind of just wants to make it short sleeve or 3/4 sleeves and not worry about it. So I'm not quite sure what I'll do with that yet, but I'm making pretty decent progress. I just don't know that I can do, it's probably half a sweater in 3 weeks. I don't know that that'll happen. I am going to keep plugging along on it though. I'm trying to be fairly monogamous with that at home. The other thing that I have been currently working on is my Moab shawl by Very Busy Monkey, and it is also in hand spun. It's a hand spun single. It's from WC Mercantile. I guess it's there. That's a store in Navasota, Texas, which is about an hour or so from here. And it was a gradient set that I bought at the International Quilt Festival back in November. And it's just their store brand. It's not branded. And I'm actually really, really enjoying this. I'm at the point where it's really boring. It's just stockinette, no, it's garter. And I am almost to starting the edging, but I'm not there yet. So right now it's boring. But because, like I said, I'm trying to be monogamous with the harvest, that's kind of taken I put it in the background for a little while. And then I'm also still working on Hermione's Everyday Socks using my Gail's Art Watermelon Sock Blank, which is what I'm working on right now. And this was one of my other projects for my trip, and I finished the first sock after I finished it, decided to get to experiment on the ribbing, and then the ribbing was way, way, way too tight, so I ripped out the ribbing and redid it, and then started the second one, and I am probably 2 inches away from doing the heel. Maybe a little more. I mean, a little less than that. And this one, again, I'll slow down on because it will probably just go in the car and be my car knitting. What I was going to say one more thing about the harvest. Oh, yeah, the harvest I also took with me on the trip thinking that I would be able to get a whole lot done on it, and it was just too bulky. I'm alternating skeins, and it was hot, and I just decided. I worked on it a little bit, and I did a couple of rows probably in the hotel room, and then just decided I was not in the mood to work on that. As far as spinning goes, I am currently working on another brazen stitchery braid, and I think it's superwash merino. I forgot to check. And it's in the Hobbits' colorway, which is greens and brown, like a light brown and tan. If I were doing it as a single, or if I knew how to chain ply, I would probably, it would be a really nice self-striping, but I don't know how, so it will probably be sort of striping. It's turning out, it's a pretty masculine colorway, and honestly, I'm not feeling it totally. I love green, but this green is like it's more of a Kelly green. It's not quite the green that I normally go for. I think it will be really pretty, and it'll be interesting to see what it looks like, but it's one of those, you're not quite as in love with it as I thought I would be. But it's going, let's see. I've finished one half and... I'm sorry, a bird just hit Katie's window. I flew off, it's fine. Oh. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Kitties. Anyway, I'm about maybe a third of the way through the second half of it, and then I still have to apply it. Those are the only things that I am currently working on. Yeah, that's all I'm currently working on, the casting on soon. I'll talk about that in a minute. And I just dropped a stitch. Y'all go on. Y'all talk without me.
So are we done with whips, or?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So next is casting on. Next for me is the Riley Rose Shawl by Jennifer Lasson, who's Boston Jen of the Down Cellar Studio podcast. It's a 3-color shawl knit, sideways using different stitches, whatnot.
I've seen that a lot recently, and I really, really like that shawl.
I initially saw it, I'm like, yeah, okay, and then I saw Emily from Knitting Butterfly. Uh-huh. I really liked hers. She used like 5 or 6 colors, mm-hmm. and all kind of colors I really like.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, I like that. And she was having a sale or something on the pattern. So I bought it and then obsessed over colors for like 4 days. I do that. I see something and that's all I think about is,
yeah.
What color am I going to make this in?
And I like it when you put it on Instagram so that way I can follow your train of thought. Yeah. It's very, I enjoy that.
Seriously, that's like all I thought about for like 2 days until I could come home and like pull yarn out. And so I had bought yarn for an Ashburn, which is a pattern by Melanie Berg, like 2 years ago. That was a kit from Plucky. And it's Princess Phone, which is a really pretty, like, yellow gold. And then 2 shades of gray. One's called High Cotton, which is a light gray. And then Medieval, which is, like, a dark charcoal gray. Well, those are already wound. So that was a bonus. I'm like, oh, that's pretty. You know, that'll be really pretty. And then I'm like, but I want to kind of spice it up. So I picked Breakfast at Fifth, which is a kind of an icy blue. So I'm going to start that. I dug out my coloring pencils. I printed out the pattern, and she's got a schematic.
Oh.
So I can color it.
Oh.
Because it's a 3-color shawl, but I'm going to use 4.
Right, right.
So I want to, so these are going to be...
Nice.
Oh,
that's
pretty.
That's going to be really nice.
Yeah.
I had a purple pink, like a dark color, darker than that I was going to put in there, but I would have had to wash it And I'm like, but I think this will be really pretty. Mm-hmm. So, and this is kind of some of the colors that Emily used for hers. I think she used another color in there too. So I'm going to start that sometime soon. I just frogged when we started recording my dragonfly's hat, so I'm going to make a barley out of that. And then when I finish my socks, I have some rock and string creations. Mm-hmm. I already wound up in, I can't remember what the color is, but it's one of those where I was obsessed with red for a day. I'm not a red. But it's pinks and reds and like a dark red. Self-striping. So I'll start another pair of socks. I'll probably just do the same pattern, OMG heel. Toe up. I think that's all I got that I'm going to do.
I have pulled out, I had wound up a couple of skeins back at the beginning of, was it April, when the spotlight knit along started for End of the Wool of yarn that I was going to put together. I've come up with various ideas for it over the past several months. And I think I'm finally decided I'm going to make a color study by Carol Lee Harding. And it's a striped shawl. I don't quite know what the construction is yet, but you basically do, I think, like, it alternates between stockinette and garter stitch. But then I want to think maybe it switches at the midpoint, so the texture looks different, and it looks like the colors are alternating. I don't know how, that doesn't make any sense. So as far as I can tell, so I would do the first row, you know, stockinette to the halfway point, and then garter to the rest of the way, and then you do something. Somehow or other, it looks like, when you're looking at it, it looks like the same row, like it switches colors at the midpoint. But I think it's just the construction. I don't know how to explain it.
Who is it by?
Carol Lee Harding. I don't know how to explain what it looks like, because I'm not working on it yet. But what it's...
Does that help you?
Yeah, let's see. Maybe not. If I can see the midpoint. Yeah, I could be just completely wrong. It gives an optical illusion, like the colors shift a little bit. I don't know how to explain. You'll have to look it up.
That's probably just using knits and purls.
Yeah.
That's how you do illusion knitting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it, so I'm looking at one, and I can tell it's a garter row or a garter ridge. So I guess, you know, you're doing two rows of one color, then switching to two rows of the next color. And so you have a garter ridge of one color and then a stockinette ridge of the same color all in one row. And it just the way that works, it kind of shifts the rows down. I don't know. One of these days I'll finish it and I'll post a picture and people will understand what I'm talking about. But it looks really interesting. It was an interesting two-color shawl. It wasn't big blocks of the same color. So that's what I plan to cast on next. I also have Night Owl fibers that I bought at at the Houston Fiber Fest that I have in a project bag ready to go that I took on my trip just in case I got bored. So I'm tempted to cast that on as well, but I have not done it yet. That's it for me. That's the only one. That's as far as I've gotten, as far as thinking ahead.
I'm looking for, you know, I'm planning kind of trip knitting, and so I'm kind of looking at a couple of shawls. One is the Oryza. Oryza by Quarta A Young. It's a spiral shawl, for that punk princess gradient, sake ball. Cause then I think it'll be interesting to go from the pink to, and it's kind of, it's a spiral shawl that's like the triangles, but it looks like it has some eyelet in the middle.
Oh, uh-huh.
So it, I think it'll be pretty and it will be interesting, but it's the kind of thing I can do on a plane and stop and start if my child is doing things.
Kind of modular.
Yes. Yeah. So as I have to think about that. I'm also, it was in Nidiot's, that Pincha shawl that looks like the feathers.
That was such a cool looking shawl. I'm glad you said that because I saw someone had posted it and I couldn't find it. I was looking for it and I couldn't find a pattern for it. I don't know if it wasn't in Ravelry yet or if I was just looking wrong.
And then,
now I know where to look for it.
And it's really, you know, because it said it's really good for variegated yarn. And I got that, the colorway, the Houston Fiber Fest specific colorway and those kind of like neon and dark purples and stuff. And I thought it would be really pretty, almost like peacocky.
Yeah.
So.
That is such
cool. But I kind of like started to look at the pattern. I'm like, this is gonna take a little bit. There's a lot of wraps and turns, which is not a bad thing, but.
I want to think I saw someone post it. It's one of those, it's definitely not social knitting.
No, it's going to be, I'm bringing it on the trip, but it's like for a quiet time, sit on the porch if it's not too hot kind of thing where I can sit and think. Now, the other one I think is like plain knitting that I can, plain in car, because we're going to spend some time in the car too. Yeah. So it'll be some car knitting. And so between those two. And the other, I don't know whether I'm going to do it or not. We have another colleague who's leaving us, and I was thinking about doing a Zubat, which is a Pokemon. And she's really into Pokemon, and if you play Pokemon, yeah, and if you play Pokemon Go, it's like one of those creatures that we get all the time at the library, like in abundance. So I thought I'd...
For a Clefairy. I keep finding Clefairies. Maybe I'll...
There's some really cute Clefairy patterns. There's some really cute Clefairy hats.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm just saying. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm just saying. So, I'm.
Can make her a Pokemon menagerie.
Well, because I know that she collects Pokemon plushes in general, but I think the handmade is just kind of a fun little.
She's also a hat person.
Oh, she is a total hat person. She's a total hat person. If you made her a Clefairy. Idea. There's a lot of really good Pokemon hats in Ravelry that I've noticed that my daughter, there's a, what are those, Scooties? Yeah, there's a Sylveon Scooty that I've been eyeing for my daughter, but that's going to take a little more energy to do. I'll probably still do it because I love weird hats. I really love making weird hats as much as I like making animal, like toys, because it's just...
They're fun.
So, yeah, so even if you get it wrong, it's right.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got on the I'm deep in my brain is already on vacation, I think, because it's planning on, like, what'll I read? You know, it's only for a weekend, and yet I have, like...
Oh, right. You need, like, four times as many projects as you think you'll need.
It's that in books. Like, what if I run out of something to do? We're going to have, like I said, we're going to have a suitcase that's going to be full of like, stripped-down games out of the boxes but put in bags. We're going to have games. We're going to have... I'm going to have knitting in there. It's going to be ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Well, because there may be the apocalypse and you need to have yarn.
You never know. You
never know.
And I'm hoping the older teenage children will take care of my child. And I'm like, oh, look, I get to knit. And this will take care of some of the awkward conversation that happens with family because, well, it's family. So no matter what you do.
So other crafty pursuits. I picked up cross-stitch again. I keep attempting to pick up the cross stitch again, and we'll see if it sticks again. What got me this time, I have this summer sampler from Frosted Pumpkin Stitchery from probably two or maybe even three summers ago that I started and never finished, and I keep wanting to, so I've picked it up, and I've actually gotten some done on it this summer, not as much as I had hoped to, but I've gotten some done on it. But they posted a sneak peek, and this kind of goes under acquisitions, but they posted a sneak peek of their newest club earlier this week, and it was a National Parks birthday sampler.
Oh.
And I'm like, I have to make that.
Yeah.
So I bought the kit in their update on Thursday, and, Thursday, and decided I want to try to stitch like the wind and see how much of the summer sampler I can get stitched before the kickoff of the club, which is on the park's birthday, which is August 25th. So we'll see how much I get done. The problems because I have seemed to have lost thread. There's at least two colors that I had for this project that are that I'm missing, and it's one of those things. I'll be near Joanne or I'll be near Michaels, and all I need is the one skein of 35-cent thread right. or something like that. I'm like, I don't want to go in and put just buy that one thing.
Well, you can, but then there's also those dollar sections, which suck me in. I'm like, ooh, stickers and beads, and well.
So I actually really, really want to try to stop sometime today or tomorrow and get that so that I can get back on track. It's not that I can't keep going, but I'm at a point where I need to change my hoop and move it over, and I don't want to move it until I've finished this particular section, and there's only two little bits that are missing, so I need to do that. And we were talking about this right before we recorded and decided to hold the conversation. And I'll just throw it in here. I was sort of organizing my yarn stash this past weekend. We did a lot of cleaning before we left for vacation so we could come home to a clean house. And we had a couple of my daughter's friends actually stayed at the house and pet sit for us while we were gone. And we wanted the house to be clean for them, obviously. And my husband kept complaining about our bar is really messy. And I said, you know, I want to clean it, but really I need to clean the yarn area first because basically a lot of the problem with the bar is that the yarn has overflowed onto the bar.
That's the part of cleaning. I get kind of a hole in my bucket. It's like, in order to get to this, I've got to do that. In order to get to that, I've got to do this. And then, you know, it's just easier to sit here and knit my socks.
Exactly. So I promised him that when we got back, I would work on that. But that, you know, it wasn't a rabbit hole that I wanted to go down before the trip. So last weekend, it was a rabbit hole. I just grabbed bins and brought them into the living room where I had more room, laid them out. And actually, you know, I was really surprised, very pleasantly surprised how my stash is not nearly as out of control as I thought it was. I have under 100 skeins of full skeins, which is, you know.
You should have seen the side eye that Katie just gave.
Now I have a lot.
Busted.
I don't have a problem. I can quit at any time.
I was able to fit almost all of, I had maybe three or four bins that I had sort of, I think I had them organized by content. Like I had 100% wool in one, and I had blends, and I don't even know anymore because they had gotten mixed up. And then I decided it made much more sense to divide them by weight. So all of my fingering took up two of them, and then everything else went into one. And then I had all of my leftovers, which was a lot. Probably half of my stash were remains, you know, remnants from other projects, but they were enough that I don't want to get rid of them. I mean, they're definitely enough for other projects.
Yeah.
So, right now, that one's still in the middle of the living room. I piled everything in there, but it was more, I had more than one bin. So what I decided was that I need another tote. Like not Rubbermaid, but what's the other one? Sterilite.
Mm-hmm.
That, Silverlight's not a Microsoft project. a Sterilite bin that seals really good that I have my hand spun and my fiber in. I decided I just need one of those. Move that away from the stash. And I went to Target today and ended up buying that. And I had to buy storage for the cross stitch, which still, that one I'm still trying to figure out. I kind of want project bags for my cross-stitch projects, too, but I don't want just regular, you know, knitting project bags. I want them special for that, and I'm having a hard time finding anything. I think I know somebody who can custom make those kinds of things, though, Mom.
So
we may have to talk. Yeah. So I have some ideas, but so yeah, I would say that other, it's an ongoing adventure of organizing the stash. It feels a lot better. I did the other thing I bought today. They had these stack, like, you know, I bought the plastic roller drawers, but they have these small ones with like three drawers each, but they're desktop size. I would say probably maybe 10 by 10 and a narrow drawer. And so I bought three of those, so I've got nine drawers, and I'm going to organize my needles by size.
Yeah, I
want
to say I used to do like kids' toys that way.
Yeah,
because they're real handy.
My needles,
I just refused
to touch last weekend because it's such a mess. But I figured if I can put them in by size, like regardless of length of the cable or whatever, and label it and actually know what's what, then maybe I can keep, I mean, that's an ongoing problem. Everybody has the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Organize your needles, but what I have is certainly not working for me. So
I have most of my needles are Addies. So what I do is I have this perfect size bag I got. It's just, you know, a cellophane bag. And so I cram all my needles in there. They're in order. And what I do is when I get with the Addies, I'll write, you know, the size, the length, and like if it's a lace tip.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have them, you know, because of librarian, I got them in order.
Right? Wow.
By length and by size. And
mine are all crammed in the shoebox.
Crazy. Well, and then that's in a box, but it's too big to fit in the box anymore. It drives Dave crazy. He wants to take them all out of the packet, and I'm like, but then I don't know that I have seven size 16s.
And, you know, I've got a couple of needle sizers that half the time I can't find them, and I'd
rather keep them in the package, and then I know what I have than having them in, like, one of those strips that they all hang out. Mm-hmm.
Cats. That's all I can think of is like, I have cats and a child, and that just is not going to work with my lifestyle. And dogs, because I've had dogs eat through cables too.
Yeah.
Which is,
Jethro has nibbled on one of my cords, so I have a kink on one of them.
Yeah. I mean, I have two sets of interchangeables that are my preferred, but I also have a whole bunch of, you know, the 16 inch for hats and cowls and, you know, all kinds of socks. You sock needles and so that's where we are on that. I guess I'm gonna go on. I'm gonna continue on. That will count that as acquisitions too.
Cause did you really... when you were in the Home Goods? Mm-hmm. Did you notice if Target still had the, like, I don't know that bins is the right word, but like home decoration stuff that had the knit print on it still?
I didn't notice, but I sure do wish I had.
Now this because. It may be gone by now. This was a couple months ago that that was really popular.
I'll have to look.
Why would they put something out like that out at summer?
It was like textured, like knitting.
I remember
like
those.
Baskets.
Yeah. Okay. No, I do remember those.
I want to kind of organize my craft room upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Because
I need more stuff up there.
I have a dream of having, like, one of our office, instead of crammed with boxes and stuff, to have it, like, be like this one wall be cosplay where it's like, oh, I can find all the wigs and wings and, oh, look, and here's all my sewing stuff together and here's all my embroidery stuff together and here's all my knitting stuff together and I can walk in and it's beautiful, and that's never going to happen, but maybe someday.
Well, I'd like to clean it up. My only concern or issue is that it's across the bathroom from the litter boxes. Some of the dust travels.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously not going to, like, lay stuff out and leave stuff out all
the
time.
No,
and I'm afraid of bugs and stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't think I have them, but I keep everything in plastic bags
right.
or in a bin so that it's, you know, not being exposed to the elements.
So I'll move on to other things I've bought, since that's what we're kind of talking about anyway. Not a whole lot. I mean, I've got four things, but they're nothing big. I had joined the Elemental Fibers Visions of Fiber Club that she had posted in Ravelry on the Into the Wool group. It's a fiber club. It's based on the Visions of the Future poster series by that was put out by NASA and JPL. You can Google them, or I can put a link to what those look like if I remember. They're kind of classic, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Vintage posters of the space race. And so each...
Oh, how fun. Yeah, I love kind of like vintage-y.
Yeah, and I mean, I've said posters. It many times. If it has space, something space related in the name, you got me already. So I signed up for this one immediately, and I got my first shipment. Actually, I came back. I guess it was waiting for me when we came back from vacation. And that one is based on the Grand Tour poster. And it's a BFL silk, and it's greens, various tones, but a lot of, like, a very, like, lime green and purples and orange, kind of a reddish pink. And I think that one's going to be a lot of fun to spin up. That's actually what will be next up on my wheel. Sorry, my nose is itching like crazy. So I got that, and that, but again, that was, yes, I got it, but it, you know, it's not a brand new purchase. I also bought Rebecca Ringquist's Embroidery Workshops book, because that's another, speaking of other crafty adventures, I'm kind of wanting to go down that rabbit hole a little bit. I've been seeing a lot of it. It's obviously coming into vogue again.
I used to embroider all the time. Yeah, I see those things, and I want to, I have a sign that's like, it's just a simple cross stitch that basically says stop freaking out, and I'm almost done with it. I'm going to hang it in my office for obvious reasons, and then just point to it when I need to. But I don't know, I've gotten sidetracked from it. Maybe I should bring that on my trip too, because, you know, I'm only going for a weekend.
Right. But I would say it's an introductory level embroidery book. And it include one of the reasons I bought this particular one is it includes a drop cloth sampler in the back for so you can practice the stitches, which is really cool. And I had looked at it when we were in Austin a while back and almost bought it and chose not to, but was still looking around and saw like there was a Craftsy class on embroidery, turned out that was taught by this person, rabbit hole, ended up back on this book and realized it was the same person. She has some other really cool designs, so I figured
there's I would do that. Big, yeah. It seems like there's a big embroidery group in Austin, because that's where Sublime Stitches.
Oh, she's based out of Austin?
She's based out of Austin.
It doesn't surprise me.
I know, but she's just, her stuff is hilarious, and I've been meaning to do, like, I like to have cloth napkins at my lunch, and I've been meaning to do, like, a bunch of, like, goofy embroidered napkins that my family doesn't care about, but I do. So
well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people posting embroidery stuff recently.
So I love to embroider.
I'm a follower. So
I love to embroider. It's fun, but I haven't done it in a long time.
And so when we were on our vacation, I actually passed up on the opportunity to go to a yarn store, which shocked my husband, kind of shocked me, but I was just not in the mood to yarn shop that day. We were in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and there was a yarn store across from the museum.
What?
I know, right?
What?
And I may find
fully
out.
In a slap sound, because come on.
I may find out that it was like the best yarn store in the Southwest, and I missed it. But I just didn't
there's
get
there's just something
the
about
vibe.
Los Alamos yarn that in my brain is awesome, even it just, if it's like it, something you,
you know,
can
the
get here.
Store, there was, it's like a blah storefront, and it was in a, it was not calling my name, and I was tired, and my husband's like, are you sure? We're right here, and I'm like, no, I just don't really want to go. It was one of those things, it's like, sometimes you just need another person, and not him. I mean, not a non-knitter. If I had been with someone else, I would have gone, but I was, I didn't feel like it. But we were in Mesa Verde National Park on our trip, and in there, they did not have yarn, but they did have some cross-stitch kits.
So
I ended up buying, that was my souvenir there, other than a t-shirt, was a cross-stitch kit that is the Rugs of the Southwest series, and it's a relatively small sampler, but it's got four rectangles with the, like, the Native American.
I think, like, I picked one of those up when we were making our cross-country trip from California to Texas, and we stopped in at the Grand Canyon. I picked up one of those, and I have it around in my house somewhere. Yeah. It was very pleasant to do and meaningful.
Right, and that's, yeah, I was like, you know, this is great. And they had probably three or four to choose from, and I let Jimmy choose which one I got, and it has four rugs on it, so it'll be good. One of the things I saw I did not buy, but they had the coolest, another bird almost hit the window. I had this sample. I mean, it was a framed art, but it was like sample weaving. And for each yarn had been natural dyed. So they had the yarns like coming out of the weaving, and then by each yarn it had what had been used to dye it with, and like little pieces of the plant matter. It was beautiful.
Oh wow.
But it was about $60 for the probably 12x12 framed art, if not smaller, and it was more extravagant than I for a souvenir. These birds are making me nervous. But so that was really, really cool. And then I already mentioned that I ordered the Frosted Pumpkin kit, so I'll talk about that maybe. I've probably talked about it as much as I want to. When I am working on it, I'll talk about that again. So has anybody else grabbed anything since the Fiberfest?
I know that, I haven't grabbed anything, but I'm already... Okay, so where we're going with the family is Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, and I've already eyed a yarn store.
Oh, really?
So
yeah,
it shouldn't be that far from the cabin where we're glamping.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you know what I acquire, if anything, if I can slip away from the family and say, no, I'm going yarn shopping, because I don't want to shop with any of them.
Oh, well, yeah.
No offense, but no.
Yeah. So you're meaning acquisitions?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I bought a Gale's Art sock blank.
It's so pretty.
It's, how do you describe this? So it was like cream colored or white, and then it's got blotches of like a purple gray.
And I like that purple.
It is. Blotches. It's really kind of.
And then it's got, like medallions that she did in multiple colors, so each medallion is four or five colors. So I don't know, maybe socks. I may use it to make a shawl, because I think that would make a pretty, like, speckly shawl.
And I love the flower, it's so pretty.
I got a bag by Awesome Granny.
Oh, I was looking at
that. I was looking at that too, because I love skulls. So.
Well, I love skulls, and I like this print. And I'm like,
it's fun.
I was just looking at this now, and I'm like, this is a little, I mean, it's a perfect size for a hat or mitts or something like that, but I'm like, I kind of want a bigger bag. She's got the bigger one still on the website on Etsy. So it's a black background with white skulls and all this, like, filigree or whatever. And then to make it slightly girly, it's a pink zipper and
did it come with the notions packet? Does she still do this?
I think she's charging for that now.
Oh, okay.
Because this is the medium size bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked right before you guys came, and she still has the large. You can buy separately, or you can buy the large and the notion pouch, which is like $10 more.
Oh, okay.
So I think she's including that, which she should for
the
quality and the fabric and the work it entails. So I may get,
because
I need more project bags.
Yeah.
I keep looking at the project bags, and I've been like, I need more project bags. Because project bags
are going to kill me. So I just sneak them in the house, and he doesn't know. So I got that, and then this may be. Had some Knit Circus.
Oh, how fun.
They were having like a clearance grab bag mystery sale. And so for a really good deal, for like $50, because their yarn is normally like $50 for the gradient cakes on their own. So for like $45 or $50, you got two really nice sets of yarn. So you're basically getting one for free. So I got, and you didn't know what you were getting. You could pick your color or the color scheme or family. So this is the Magnificent DK in the Lothlorien colorway. So it's kind of a pale blue to a seafoam green.
Pretty.
It's 375 yards. It's a DK. It's a super wash. So that'd be enough probably to make a shawlette or something. And then I picked blues or greens. I don't remember. And then the other one I got was a set of sock cakes. So it's they're known for their gradient and then their self-striping gradient. So it's kind of two gradients that twist on each other. That stripe.
Pretty.
So this is the Lavish Base, which is superwash cashmere nylon. So it's a 70-20-10. And this is Blue Skies Ahead. Must have had spots or something on it. There's a little note there. So it's kind of a seafoam green, maybe a pale yellow, and then like a royal blue.
Pretty.
So pretty.
And then I signed up, they had a club or whatever, I signed up for that. So every other month you get a cake or a set of yarn and a gradient mystery color. We'll see how that goes. I can drop it any time, so. Just need to find patterns to make with these things. I mean, socks are socks, but something like this, you know, either stripe it with something else or... I don't know if that... I'd have to look at my yardage to see if that'd be enough to make another, like, Age of Brass and Steam.
Or maybe something like a Zuzu's Petals or one of the little scowls.
I've been eyeing both of those shawls, but I can't figure out what I want to do with them.
Then I got plucky stuff, but that's not very exciting.
events upcoming. Katie and I will be leaving a month from today to go to Into the Wall. Super excited about that. We're going to stop halfway between here and there in Little Rock. The plan is, hope is, that we're going to actually stay at the same hotel as Jeanette and Heidi and then travel this second day, kind of caravan with them. So that'll be a lot of fun. We're so looking forward to that. Things keep coming up at work. Not bad, but like... My boss will talk about, we're going to do this over Labor Day weekend. We're going to load these records. And I'm like, don't forget, I am not going to be here. That was one. Before I even had started the job, I'm like, just FYI, this is already planned vacation. I am not going to be here this weekend. So hopefully.
And I will be somewhere where there's not a lot of cell reception.
Yeah, we were in this meeting yesterday and we were talking about it. And she was telling our vendor, well, we were really hoping that y'all would do this for us. And he's like, well, y'all have got some really, malnourished bird sex. That's great. Sorry. This is like the bird episode. He's like, well, you've got some really capable people. I'm like, I'm going to be on vacation. And then other guy in the meeting is like, I'm going to be somewhere where hopefully there is no cell service. Me too. So really looking forward to that. And then those are the only firm plans. We have tossed around the idea of possibly going to Stitches, Texas. I'd say it's still a possibility, but I haven't actually broached it with the family.
I'd like to go.
Yeah, I'm really thinking like maybe getting up early on Saturday and just going for the day and coming back Sunday. It wouldn't be that big of a commitment. It would only be a day. So I would say that it went from pretty much a 0% chance 6 months ago to 75% right now. It depends how
Into the Wall goes too.
Yeah, I mean it's only 3 weeks after, I think about 3 weeks after Into the Wall, so I've done a lot of driving, so we'll have to see. And then I put down possibly Kid and You, which is in November. I really don't know. I guess maybe that will depend on if we go to Stitches.
Yeah, that's true. It depends who the vendors are, because... Yeah.
I kind of see some different ones.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, Yellow Rose and Kid and You kind of tend to be the same 8 or 10 people mm-hmm. all the time. I'd rather go to Park Avenue for a day.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could.
I was thinking of doing that for my birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's not that far. November. And see, that's right. That kind of coincides. So maybe we'll do that instead. It also, my dad and his wife are going to be out here. I'm not really expecting to see them much. They're coming out for a football game, with the Ole Miss Texas A&M game. But that, since they will be here that weekend, I know Saturday it doesn't matter because that's a football game, but there's always a possibility that, you know, they may try want to meet up some other time too. And, you know, my anticipation is probably that I'll see them on Thursday or Friday and then that's it. But you never know. So that, I would say Kid and You is a low possibility at this point, but just throwing it out there. Our summer reading knit along is still going on. It will actually still be going on in through September so that we can get prizes at Into the Wool. And we have had, actually we've had entries in both the short story and novel category, which are the smaller, like short stories 50 to 100 yards, novel is 100 to 400 yards. I don't have any in chunks or a box set, but I do remember someone mentioning, and I can't remember who it was right now, that they were working on something that they hoped to enter for, I think it was the boxed set. So, chances of winning are fairly high. We do have several entries in at least one of the categories. I can't remember which one, but it's the same couple of people. So your chances are pretty high. We have more people participating in the chatter thread. So, but it's pretty easy, guys. If y'all are participating in any of the other multitude of knit-alongs that are going on this summer, come on over and just throw it into the appropriate category. The information is in the Ravelry group. Pretty much anything goes.
Just need to be a member of the group.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the main thing. Be a member of the group, and then you can find one of the categories that your project will fit into. So join us. The cookbook club portion of that, I'm going to call that a bust. nobody else besides me seems to be interested. I did do one recipe out of it, and I don't remember. I think I talked about it. I think it was strawberry scones or something. And honestly, I haven't even been into it. It's just so hot. I don't really want to cook. Maybe we can revisit around the holidays or something like that.
That's usually when I get the bug to do it, when it's not so... hot.
No one should feel bad about not participating because I haven't even been doing it. So it was an idea that I would
come back to it. It's not for now.
Yeah. As far as prizes for the knit along, we only have two confirmed at the moment. But like I said, Katie and I will pick up something at Into the Wool. I have the hand spun that I mentioned. It's the brazen stitchery. I forgot what I said. The content was merino bamboo, I think. And then I think I mentioned in our talk about the Houston Fiber Fest that I picked up a DPN cozy needle holder from Diana Couture with butterflies on it. So that is also one of the prizes. I was thinking this morning as I was gathering stuff, it maybe just to round it out, look for a skein of a regular yarn and maybe some notions or something for the other prizes, but that is that. In the kitchen, like I said, I haven't been spending a whole lot of, well, for one, I was on vacation, and then it's just been hot, so I've been avoiding the kitchen as much as possible. But my son's 18th birthday was this past week, a week ago yesterday, which I just cannot even believe. But he is a big cheesecake fan. So I made lemon blackberry cheesecake for him. If you go back and listen, I looked it up. I actually made this for his birthday probably 2 years ago, and it was a hit, so I made it again. It is basically you do, you know, typical graham cracker crust, and then you make just a batch of plain cheesecake batter, and you take half of it and you add blackberries and lemon juice to that. And then put that layer on the bottom, bake it a little bit, and then add the plain cheesecake on top. And it's really a very simple cheesecake for something. It looks very impressive, but it's really, really simple. What we decided this time, the blackberry part, I think if I were to make it again, and I may, but like I said, this was the second time I've made it, I think I would add maybe a little bit more sugar after I've separated it, because the blackberry was very tart. It wasn't very sweet. And it was fine if you took a bite that had the regular cheesecake and the blackberry, but alone it was just a little too tart. The other thought I had on it was maybe to swirl them together instead of layering them. And that might get
there. Yeah, I would swirl them.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. And rather than add more sugar, I think if you swirl it, you would get that effect of having the bite with both.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think so, too.
And it actually makes me want to try it again just to see what happened. The only other thing, I love blackberries, but the seeds in them drive me crazy. And I actually tried to strain them, and it didn't work. It was too thick.
So yeah,
I couldn't get rid of the seeds. But. Okay. reading and watching, do we want to go on to that, or we're at 85 minutes?
I mean, I'm happy to talk about books, but
yeah,
I'm
always too.
Happy. I mean, I've kind of given
up. It's summer reading, right, so.
And I'm kind of given up on, I mean, sorry, this is not going to be a short podcast. If you've got all three of us here, we're going to be chatty, and we've got a lot to talk about, and it's been a while, so.
Yeah.
If you're only interested in the knitting, you can leave us now. And those of you who are more interested or still interested in talking books and TV, movies, whatever.
We're probably going to mention Stranger Things.
I forgot to write that down, but
oh my gosh. So
if you have watched Stranger Things, stick with us.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm going to let someone else talk, whoever wants to. I'm going to let Katie start, because I bet Katie doesn't have Netflix, so you haven't watched Stranger Things.
I will someday, because of Kevin, I will.
It's kind of amazing. Anyway, go, Katie.
We'll let Katie go, and then
fancy cable channels go away. So we're talking about reading?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I have 5 books maybe to talk about, since we last recorded, and you're welcome to follow me on Goodreads. In the summer, I usually include reviews, or at least an opinion if I like the book or not. I usually always at least rate my books, but we have a summer reading club at work that runs June through the end of August.
I posted one thing.
And, so we write reviews and things like that for customers. So let's see. The first book that I pulled up my Goodreads so I can actually remember names and things is The Crown's Game by Evelyn Skye. This is a young adult YA fantasy. Again, one of these, you know, two people have to battle to save the kingdom type thing. It's set in Imperial Russia, so it's not like there has to be world building like you do in some other fantasy books. So the story goes that there can only be one enchanter, one person with magic at a time.
There could be only one.
That helps the king or the czar or whatever run the kingdom, is like, you know, confidant or whatever. And so these two teenagers are both enchanters, so they have to have a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's called The Crown's Game. And so they get 5 turns or something like that. And basically they can fight to the death if they want, but they don't. It's been a couple weeks since I've read this, so stuff just falls through my brain. I get a little tired of YA fantasy. it was a decent read. There's some holes in the plot. I'm like, well, who's the current enchanter? Is it kind of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that there can only be one slayer, and when the one slayer dies, the next slayer comes up? You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand, well, what has made, you know, why is there a new enchanter? And then they take turns doing things to impress the king or kill each other. And I'm like, okay. So they use their turns to, like, turn the city pretty, make this box that turns out pretty outfits. Because the one character, Nikolai, I would say is fashionable for 1800s Imperial Russia. So it was okay. You can see my little review in, did I write a review? So this is what I wrote. This book seems like a combination of a handful of other YA fantasy books put together. A heroine, a hero, a prince, and magic. The story is set in Imperial Russia. Only one enchanter can be alive and serve at a time. Otherwise, the crown game must play out to define the sole enchanter who will serve the Tsar. Both Vika, that's the girl, and Nikolai have known they were enchanters their whole lives, but did not know that they had to fight to the death to use their magic. They're called to court to begin the game, each with a certain number of moves. Unless death occurs in the game, the Tsar ends the battle by choosing a winner, condemning the other to death. I felt like the rules were a little vague. They each use turns to build or improve upon things in the arena or the area, and then attacked each other as well. Of course, there has to be a love triangle, kind of, sorta. It was interesting, but it was just, like, kind of, like, there's some plot, in my mind, a little, some plot holes. I have two historical romances. The first one is The Earl Takes All, which is part of the Hellions of Havisham series by Lorraine Heath. This is the second book in the series, and, what was his name? Okay. Edward and Albert were twins. And okay, this might be slightly a spoiler. Edward, Albert, and there's two other guys, I can't remember the names off the top of my head. Actually if the one guy goes or not. At least three of them go on one last big adventure before they come back to get married and settle and whatnot. And Albert gets killed. And so Albert and Edward are twins, and as Albert is laying there dying, says, "Be me."
Oh, okay.
So he comes back and pretends to be Albert, who has a wife.
Oh my.
Yes. So you have that whole plot twist, and you get the backstory that Albert, or Edward, has always secretly loved.
Of course, because that has to happen. Her name
was Julia, has always secret. He was actually, and he was kind of the cat and the rake of the two guys. And so, of course, you know, 3/4 of the story is him pretending to be Albert, and then she figures it out and all that.
Of course.
I gave it 4 stars. The other one is Marrying Winterborn, which is by Lisa Kleppis. Everyone is, like, raving about this book. It was okay. I give it 3 stars. It starts out with the hero nursing his broken heart because he thinks his engagement has ended. And then his former fiance of, like, a week ago walks into, he owns a department store, so he's kind of a slightly lower class, mm-hmm, than I guess what the gentry or whatever. walks into his store and throws herself at him because it's been a misunderstanding. And so, her name is Helen, has been sheltered her whole life, so she, you know, doesn't know the ways of men. What kind of annoyed me was that it was kind of an insta-love sex right. in the story. I mean, within the first chapter or two, they have sex. And I'm just like, yeah, you kind of had that backstory and that courtship, but you missed that build-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just, there were a couple good one-liners in there, but I just, it has a real high rating, like over a 4. In 4.14 in Goodreads. I'm just like, yeah, and everyone just raved. I'm like, it's okay. But, you know, each their own, you right. know. And then the other book I read was Queen of Shadows by Sarah J. Maas. This is the fourth book in the Throne of Glass series, which is YA fantasy. Mm-hmm. Kalena, who now goes by Aelin because she's a fairy queen, has come back to try and overthrow the king and the duke, who are breeding these evil princes that are taking over everything. And you finally find out what the witches are all about and what the witches have been up to, which is kind of interesting. I gave it 4 stars. It was good. It was a little long. It was a little longer than it needed to be. And then I'm currently reading Rebecca. I read Rebecca a long time ago, and all I remembered was something about a boat in the bay.
I liked that book a lot.
It is so wordy.
Well, oh yeah. God. Yeah, no, it is.
Like, if I get bored, I start skipping and just to read conversation. It is like, she talks about flowers all the time. This was written, what, in, like, early, between 1900 and 1920s?
I think so. Is that right?
That's probably
yeah,
not
okay.
right.
Yeah, okay.
So, you
I'm know, getting it mixed up with the movie in my head, because like, I've read it, but it's like, yeah. Oh, the movie's really good.
So, you have the words of the time, and queer is used, like, on every page.
Right.
But it means, you know, strange.
Right, exactly,
stuff,
exactly.
I just, the language and...
It's her version of Preternatural, like when Andrew,
so,
sorry.
I didn't remember anything about this other than the boat in the bay. That had a boat.
Had a boat. His yeah. boat.
So I'm enjoying it. I am probably 3/4 of the way through. I have probably another hour or so of reading. But I've enjoyed it. So it's good to reread something
it's
real.
It's been a long month. Time since I've read that.
Yeah. I've been wanting to read that.
Probably about... 11 or 12 years ago.
That's about right. Time. I think that's about
it was
right.
on sale
really,
not too long ago, so
really
I jumped all over
liked
it.
I was really surprised. It was one of those that I'd heard about but didn't, you know, right. read some classics. And
right.
I really enjoyed it. I was really surprised how much I liked it.
Yeah, so yeah. it's kind of like a mystery, and now I'm watching yeah. it unfold. And
what's the name of the housekeeper?
Mrs. Danvers.
Oh, she's so... And that's where I love the movie, because she's so good in that. Oh, she's so evil and wonderful, and it's great. It's so good.
Yeah,
yeah, no, go find the movie. It's like... it'll feel real good.
So, since we recorded last, I finished Blue Lily, Lily Blue by Maggie Stiefvater. This is the third in the Raven Cycle series. It's been long enough that I don't remember a lot of details. It's a middle book in the series, you know. I'm still waiting for Laura to finish The Raven King, which is the fourth, so I can move on to that one. I liked this one. Of the three that I've read, this was my least favorite. There was a character that I thought was unnecessary. I mean, maybe she will prove to be necessary. I'm sure she will prove to be necessary in the final book, but her character was weird. it was just weird. There was some stuff that was like, I don't know about this. But I enjoyed it, but not as much as the others. I also finished Blind Descent, which is the the sixth book in Nevada Bar's Anna Pigeon series, which is set in national parks. This one was actually really cool because Anna Pigeon's home park is Mesa Verde, which we went to on our trip, although it wasn't set there, but that's, you know, it was mentioned a few times. But the this book itself was set in Carlsbad Caverns, or Carlsbad National Park, Carlsbad Caverns National Park, and not actually in the caverns, although they were mentioned, there is another cavern called La Chiquilla Cavern, which is adjacent, that is not open to the public. It's only open for scientific research, but it was set there. But it was really cool to read that because I was actually in Carlsbad Cavern, so about halfway through the book, I could suddenly picture the area.
And oh, that's fun.
It was a lot. So that was a lot of fun. I liked this one a lot. I think I gave it 4 stars in Goodreads. It was one of the better ones I've read so far. I'm still trying to work my way through those. This is kind of the year of Anna Pigeon for me, as far as I'll often choose a series to just kind of work through over the course of a year. So that was that. I also listened to Knitlandia by Clara Parks, and I've heard mixed reviews of this one. Some people really love it. Some people don't like it so much. The Goodreads reviews, there were quite a few, like 2-star reviews, and the reason given by most of them is that it's very, I would say, very egocentric, and a lot of name dropping. If you don't listen to a lot of podcasts, if you're not a big part of the knitting community, she mentions a lot of people, there is a lot of name dropping of people you may not, you don't know, if you don't know anything, it's not, the story isn't quite as meaningful. For me, I mean, I do listen to a lot of podcasts, obviously, and I'm on Ravelry, and I read enough that I'm familiar with a lot of the names. So for me, it was kind of fun to read about them. But I kind of did have that same feeling. There was I don't want to say whininess, because that's not true, but there were times when I felt like fans or non-knitters were she kind of talked down about them, not down to them, but it was, you know, there was a little negativity. You know, at one point she's talking about classes and like the students who come in late, and you know, I made a notch by that person's name so I would remember them. And I mean, there was just a little snarkiness, yes, a little cattiness that I could have dealt without. But overall, I did really enjoy it. I listened to it while I was spinning, and it was fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think I gave it 3 stars. But I did pick up on some of that myself. It just didn't bother me to the same extent. But what did bother me was that little bit of, just a little bit of cattiness. It felt a little cliquish. But, so finished that one. And then I'm currently reading The Mercy of Thin Air by Ronlin Domingue. And this is one that I've had on my to-be-read list for pretty much as long as I've been keeping a to-be-read list, I think. I don't even remember where I learned about it. I don't know if it was... I used to read Pages and Bookmarks magazines. I don't know if it was mentioned in there or if it was... I have no idea where I heard about this book. But it's one that was on the list, and then at some point I picked it up, I guess, probably at Half Price Books, so it's actually been on my bookshelf for a long time. And I've mentioned before that I use a randomizer to pick my next book because I can't make a decision for the life of me. This came up as my next read, and it is so good. It's one of those books that it's like, why have I not read this? You know, I can't believe this has been sitting here waiting for me to read. The language is beautiful. So it's just very lyrical. It's set in like kind of New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Southern Louisiana-ish. So it's mm-hmm. it's very atmospheric. The main character is, so it's kind of a ghost story. The main character is sort of a ghost. I would say sort of because it's not necessarily the name she would give herself. But in the book, there is what is termed a between. So when you die, you can either stay in the between or you can move on to whatever is after. Kitty games in here. And she chose to stay between. And she died in the 1920s, and it is set in the mid-2000s, and she, or mid, like, 2005-ish, not mid, not like 20, whatever. So she has been between for about 70 years, and has taught other souls, I guess, the ways of living between, and also help people go beyond if they want to. But she's also, that's not the crux of the story, is the man that she had been engaged to and her desire to find out whatever happened to him. And she ends up finding her, so she's, currently it's like she's haunting a piece of furniture, which sounds completely corny. But, so there was a piece of furniture that had belonged to the man she was engaged to. That at the very beginning of the book, there's an estate sale, and it's sold to this couple. And so she had been trying to track down this particular, you know, this former beau, and found the estate sale, found this cabinet that she remembered, and basically followed it with the couple. And so it's kind of the story of the couple, the kind of the story of this woman's romance, you know, in the 20s. She connects, sort of, I mean, connects as in finds another friend of hers from that era. And it's just very, all of it is interconnected. And like I said, it's just so lyrical. It is just a beautiful book. But that is what I am currently reading. I would highly recommend that one, especially if you love Southern literature. There's just something. It's just a nice book. Darcy.
I'm reading right now. Let's see. I'm in the middle of Something New by Lucy Nisley. It's a graphic novel, and it's basically her experience with the wedding industry. Meeting, you know, she meets a guy and she isn't sure if it's going to work out because she really wants children, but he doesn't. And this is a biography essentially. And they finally decide to get married. So there's this whole thing about like, can I be a feminist and still be a bride? And what is happening to my brain that all of a sudden I'm thinking about all these things about and not turn into a bridezilla and still be an artist and have things reflect us. And, you know, I'm past those times, but I'm really, watching her go through it is kind of like, you know, pull out the popcorn and Schadenfreude. But it's still, it's very.
We have a coworker whose daughter is getting married. I'm kind of feeling the same way watching the conversations that she has about it.
It's a fun book. Like, she always is really frank. Her artwork is very clean. She's always really accessible. I like her a lot. And the other thing that I'm reading that's sucking me in is His Majesty's Dragon by Naomi Novik. It's like Dragon Riders of Pern meets Master and Commander. It's basically what would happen if a dragon aerial corps was part of the Napoleonic Wars. And the characters are really engaging. They set up the Dragon Corps versus the Navy and and what would be expected of a naval officer is good. I'm still on the fence of how I feel about dragons that talk, but it kind of still works because there's like this close relationship with the dragons, but, which sets up like having personal relationships and what that's like. But I also, you know, I'm not really into like naval, like the Horatio Horn Blower. Mm-hmm. I've never been like super into it, but there's something about this that just, the characters are really good. And I feel like if I knew more about the Napoleonic Wars, I would probably get more out of it. But it doesn't matter. For me, it's fine. I'm probably not going to go down a Wikipedia hole looking it up because I don't really understand the different... I'm hoping that somebody will be say, oh, this is why this battle was important. Oh, okay. But I'm just really enjoying that the aerial battles are good. The characters are good. Oh, and the other thing is... there are women officers because there are certain breeds of dragon that only bond with women. So they throw that whole mix of like, okay, I'm a gentleman and an officer and there's a woman here and she's wearing breeches and she's giving orders and, you know, it's kind of like that throw in the mix of that. It's enjoyable. I'm surprised how much I'm really liking it, but I'm really liking it a lot.
So do you have anything you're watching or? Should we talk about Stranger Things?
Can we?
Just working my way through the DVR. I've been watching Unreal.
What is that? Because I've heard that's really good.
I didn't watch the first season. The only reason I'm watching the second season is because it has a fake British boyfriend in it. It has Yoan in it. Yoan Griffiths.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's the only reason I started watching it. And it's actually really good.
I've heard it's hilarious. And disturbing.
It's like... it's a drama version of like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. But it's actually really good. I need to go watch the first season. So I've been watching the second season. And I'll save up 2 or 3 episodes. And Yoan's finally been in it, so I'm happy now.
Okay, good.
So I've enjoyed it. It's got Constant Zimmer or Zimmerman.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know who you're talking about. And a couple other people in it. But, so it's, you know, there's a football player. It's basically like The Bachelor, but it's kind of the drama behind the scenes and on camera. And just working my way through the DVR. I've been watched a couple episodes of The Tunnel, which makes it hard to knit because I took French and I was probably almost to the point of being fluent, but it's been 20 years.
How I was with Spanish, yeah.
Well, and it's... actual French people talking French.
Oh, so they're going to go really, really quickly.
And it's
my French
like,
is not that good.
And it's like anything on TV is like really hard for me to hear on top of that. Mm. Like the British stuff is hard to hear too. So I've watched a couple episodes of The Tunnel. I still haven't watched Endeavor. I've been saving those to binge watch. The Olympics are coming up, so that'll be...
Yeah.
I have been watching Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
I've only watched one. I caught like a little bit of one time.
They're on PBS. Uh-huh. They did the first whole season, and now they've just started the second season.
Okay.
And then Harris County has the DVDs.
Okay.
So I went and got the second season DVD today, but I don't know if I'll... Because I didn't know if PBS was going to run the second season or not, but it looks like they are, so...
Oh. Okay.
So that's all really what I'm doing.
I became obsessed with the Great British,
Baking
Show.
I've started watching.
Oh my gosh, I love those. People
so
are so
the last,
nice.
Last 2 Fridays, we watched that. Dave happened to come down for his pie last night, and so we sat and watched like an hour and a half, and he's like, I want to make eclairs.
I know. It's so, well, it's like you could like, I want to make that. And then you look at how hard it is. I'm like, I can't possibly make that.
I want to eat that.
I want someone to make that for me.
I'm never making puff pastry. I'm telling you that right now.
Oh, those
now.
Are frightening. And then those technical challenges, terrifying. I'm like on the edge of my seat the entire time going, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we watched, I think there's only been 2 seasons that have been available.
This
here.
Is like, I think it's like season 4 for our British listeners.
I think
watchers.
We watched 2 seasons, and I don't, we were talking about this yesterday, or whatever day that was. I don't remember if I saw them on Netflix or if it was on PBS or what, but yeah, they're so much nicer than like
they
the Food Network star shows. These people, there's no one trying to stab each other in the back.
Well, yeah, they were like trying to help each other.
Well, yeah.
In one of the episodes I watched last night, Paul was helping Matt or Ian or somebody, and then Nadia came over and she's like, can I help?
They were
trying to move his cake or whatever.
Yeah. The only reality show that I've seen that's been sort of like that is Face Off. Is like, because you get a bunch of like, because that special effects makeup that they do. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when they get stuck on something, instead of being, and even though it's a competition, it's like, I'm at a good place. I'm going to do this. Let me know how. And it's like, because I figure it's like mostly introverts are the artists on that show. And so they end up being like super nice and super helpful. So I love that show. And then.
Well, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that there isn't really anything else that we've just been sitting and watching. But. Dun dun dun! We discovered Stranger Things last weekend, which I'm guessing everybody and their mother.
It's like suddenly it exploded.
Discovered it at exactly the same time because I hadn't heard of it. I must have caught it right as it launched, but we hadn't heard any rumbles about it.
My friend Lisa told me at when we went to dinner, and she said, "Oh, you have to see this." She says the font is perfect. I think that was
it. Yes, the font is perfect. So if you are not familiar with Stranger Things, and if you're on the internet, I don't know how you do that.
Past week, good luck again.
But if you are on Netflix, and especially if you are a child of the 70s, 80s. Mm-hmm. I would highly, highly recommend this series. It's a Netflix original series. It's 8 episodes,
it's a really manageable series being 8. Although I got to like episode 7 and I'm like, I'm not sure how you're going to finish this. I'm not sure how you're going to get it done.
I've got like the next to last or maybe 2 episodes before
the last 2 episodes,
Yeah, I don't know. I was not sure how they were going to wrap it up, but
it takes place in 1983, and I think what was, because I did the math for me, which shows you how old I am. I would have been 12, turning 13 that December, so I was about as old as the younger kids in there.
Yeah, roughly, and I was in 6th grade that year, so
about that middle school age.
Yeah. Don't worry, we've got.
Aw. Dave just walked in and had a tender moment, and it was very sweet. And now Katie's giving hashtag eye roll. Anyway.
So it is a.
How do you describe it? It's like a mystery horror
mystery. If you take all of the Steven Spielberg movies of that era and mash them up, that's the closest thing.
Well, they described it as a dark Amblin because it is definitely, it's got a scary feel, and it ends up being like a cabin in the woods and then E.T. and Firestarter. It's just so many good things. And they get the fashion right. It's like, I looked at it and I'm like, oh, I wore my hair like that.
Yeah.
I have pictures.
The music, the soundtrack was great. I mean, even just like
sorry. I'll take a look.
Like the background music.
Yeah, the incidental music was like, because it was all like synths and it was like a John Carpenter film of the time.
But there are scenes you're like, oh, yeah, that's straight out of Name the Movie.
Right.
Like, there's one scene, they're walking down railroad tracks.
And you're like, oh, Stand By Me.
And, but it was,
it's really good. It's really good. It's
really, really well done. So we picked it up, I guess it was probably Friday night. We were like, well, let's watch an episode. We watched them. I'm like, oh, well, let's watch another episode.
I think
we watched 2 the first night, and then the next night we're like, we need to watch some more, and we watched 3. We watched 2 more, and then Laura was home, and we were talking to her. We're like, have you watched this? No, I haven't watched this yet. We're like, well, you need to watch this. And then one of Eli's friends was over, and he's like, oh, Eli, have you seen this? And Laura's like, oh, Emily says we need to watch this. And all of a sudden, everybody's talking about it. So Laura caught up and went and watched the rest of it with us. And it was, I think we were caught up to we'd gone through maybe six by Sunday night. And then Laura's like, if we go home on Monday, she's like, Mom, if we go home right now, there's time. We can watch the last two episodes. it was utter binge worthy.
I just got a text from my husband that he started while we're recording. So I don't know.
He hadn't watched it yet?
No, he hadn't watched it yet because I watched on Monday. I had watched one episode on like my lunch hour during a Saturday that I worked. Mm-hmm. And then I got to Monday. I'm like, oh yeah, which was my day off. And then, you know, one episode led into the other. I'm like, oh, I could finish this before dinner. And so I did. I did chores, too, I promise.
Well, I think we have officially set a record. We are at 2 hours.
Whoa, okay, I think we need to stop.
I think it's time to wrap it up. Even those of you who are enjoying this are probably done with us by now. So, I'm just going to look at a calendar real quick and just get an idea of what is coming up.
When do you leave on your vacation?
Oh, we leave the 11th of August. So
And so y'all, it's just the weekend.
It's just the weekend, yeah. We'll go from like Thursday to next Tuesday.
What if you were gone for a whole week?
Well, then I'm taking time off afterwards because it's right before school and I've learned that to keep my sanity,
yes.
I have to, because we'll have like meet the teacher.
That's 2 weeks.
That's a mental break.
I think we may do, maybe Katie and I will do one while you're gone.
Okay, and I could do another where I can.
You know what, I have no idea what y'all's schedules are.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it because
we're still doing 3-week rotation right now. Unless somebody else leaves.
So that means that the 20th would be both of y'all off, but that's also the end of the first. Where is that? The end of the first week of school.
I mean, or is it the day?
School starts the 22nd. And I'm working. I'm working that day because I switched with somebody. So y'all can record and then
that
I
might
can,
be.
And I'll just I can do another like report from the field or whatever.
Yeah, that's probably what we'll do. Just
I'll record while I'm on vacation.
Yeah, you can do that.
I'm in this yarn store.
Yeah. So that is the plan. So it looks like we'll probably stay on schedule. I'm getting text messages. I think we've totally gone through our data this month. Laura being back, I think she was used to not. I think she was on Wi-Fi most of the time, and now with her not, I don't know what she's doing. She's using most of the data. I'm second, so I don't know what I'm doing either.
And then there's Pokemon Go for us. So.
Yeah, but it doesn't really seem to be using that much.
No, not as much as everybody says, but I'm also not like.
But that certainly has, I'm sure, added up. And then we were on vacation, so. I've said that for this month we would count it as a vacation expense if we go over, but that we both need to watch it. But
yeah.
Okay, so okay. we will talk to y'all all in a few weeks, and we hope you all have a good time until then.
Bye!
Bye! Bye.